This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan together with Lim Soo Ann. As always, we have two stories for you today. Mm-hmm. First up, something that happened just yesterday evening. Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin announced his new cabinet lineup. And so we are looking at the ministries that will be taking care of our environment and natural resources and some of the most pressing issues that they will need to handle.
And for our second story, so while things may look better on the surface, it's revealed that 9 out of 10 people are still found to be biased against women. So we'll be taking a look at some of the shocking global facts and figures, as well as what went down at the Women's March here in Malaysia. Mm. And if you have any, and as always, we have a poll going. So in reference to that survey, which found that 9 out of 10 people are still biased against women, we're asking you if you notice incidences of this in your daily life. So your options are yes, all the time, yes, occasionally, or no. You can take that poll or tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. And, you know, share your thoughts with us whether in regards to this story or with the second story.
Yes, so that's coming up in the second half of the hour. But first, we are going to talk about the big announcement that everyone was listening to yesterday with bated
breath. That's right.
1 week after he was sworn in as the 8th Prime Minister of Malaysia, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin announced his new cabinet lineup yesterday. And the new cabinet consists of members from the Perikatan National Coalition, which includes, of course, Barisan Nasional, PAS, Bersatu, as well as with the support of GPS and 11 former PKR leaders led by Azmin Ali. So today we want to actually zoom in on how Perikatan Nasional will hopefully be tackling issues surrounding environmental protection, including natural resource management and, of course, fighting the greatest challenge of them all, climate change.
Mm, that's right. So after GE14, we had two ministries under the Pakatan Harapan government. So the first was the Ministry of Water, Land and Natural Resources, which was headed by Dr. Xavier Jayakumar, and the Ministry of Energy, Science, Technology, Environment and Climate Change, or MESTEC, as most of us know it. And that was under the leadership of Yeo Bee-in. And these ministries shared what used to be the Ministry of Natural Resources and Environment's portfolio. Mm. And now under the Perikatan Nasional, things have changed again, as we all would have heard yesterday during the announcement. Under this new coalition, we now have an all-new Environment Ministry. We have also an Energy and Natural Resources Ministry and a Science, Technology and Innovation Ministry. So the Environment Ministry will be led by past Deputy President Tuan Ibrahim Tuan Man, an ulama who is making his first appearance in a federal government position. And the Energy and Natural Resources Ministry will be headed by Dato' Shamsul Anwar Nasara, and the Science, Technology and Innovation Ministry will be helmed by Khairi Jamaluddin.
So these ministries really do have some very urgent and pressing issues to take care of, and will have to work together to address Malaysia's core environmental issues. Mm. They will also need to join in the global fight to mitigate climate change and to take the necessary steps to make Malaysia resilient to climate change. And that's just among some of their challenges. So earlier today, I spoke to Surin Suksuan, who is a member of the IUCN World Commission on Protected Areas, to find out what he thinks these ministries need to tackle head-on, now that they have the power to do so. But first, I started off by asking him about what he thinks will be under the purview of the respective ministries which are now in charge of protecting and managing Malaysia's natural environment.
Yeah, so the cabinet list has just been released. So, I think most of us are still trying to make sense of it, because the specific scope of each ministry has not been revealed yet. So I think we can just make a guess as to what the different ministries will cover. But what is interesting is that for the first time, and I believe, we never had this situation before, we have a standalone Ministry of Environment. Mm. So that's an interesting development, because previously the Ministry of Environment has always been combined with some other functions, for example, science and technology in the 80s and 90s, and then later was combined with Ministry of Natural Resources, and then in the latest permutation before the new government took over, it was combined under MESTEC, which was a huge ministry, with many, many different bits and bobs. So it's interesting to find out more what will be the scope of this ministry, because traditionally the Ministry of Environment covers things like pollution mainly. You know, most people when they think of the Ministry of Environment, they think of Jabatan Alam Sekitar, the Department of Environment, where they go around and, you know, giving fines to people who pollute and so on. And then the other major function of the Department of Environment was in approving EIA. So that's also another major role of the department and the ministry. So I think that will still continue. But big question here is on the management of our natural resources, the forests, the wildlife, marine resources as well. And you know, in the previous government, wildlife, forestry were under cats under the Ministry of Air, Ministry of Water,
yes,
Land and Natural Resources, right? So we don't know whether this is whether those items will still be parked under the newly created Ministry of Energy and Natural Resources. But an indication of its potential role is that, you know, you've got energy that's sitting in natural resources, which imply that maybe they are focusing more on the mineral resources rather than the biological resources. So that remains to be seen.
So the one thing that is missing from all the portfolios, though, is the words climate change. You know, previously in Yobin's Energy, Science, Technology, Environment and Climate Change Ministry, or MESTEC, you know, that was very clearly stated there. What are your thoughts on the fact that it's not explicitly mentioned?
Yeah, I think a lot of people have different views about this. My personal opinion is that climate change is a very broad topic. Because when you look at the source of greenhouse gases, it comes from different sectors, right? You get greenhouse gases released when you clear forests, when you drain the peat land areas, when you have industry, even the transport sector is a major contributor to greenhouse gases, you know, when you have vehicles emitting pollution and so on. So I don't think that it's necessary to have a ministry dedicated to climate change. In fact, I think climate change should be embedded in all the major ministries where there are activities that lead to climate change. So, but of course, some people may differ in their opinion. They may think that it is necessary to have climate change specifically spelled out as a function of one of the ministries. Yeah.
So on that note about you know, issues of climate change or even environment just being embedded into various aspects of governance, Malaysia has accumulated all kinds of environmental damage following, you know, decades of rapid industrialization. Do you think there's a chance for you know, restorative rather than destructive economy where, you know, these kinds of environmental challenges are turned into opportunities for growth?
Yes, we definitely need to have a major shift in how we manage our natural resources. I mean, previously, the thinking, and maybe is still even prevailing now, is that, you know, you have all these natural resources and they're meant to be exploited by humans. You know, we should use what we can and you know, drive our economy by utilizing natural resources. But if we think about sustainability, you know, our future generation and so on, we need to make sure that the use of the natural resources is done in a sustainable manner, right? So yes, there's been a lot of damage. So to a certain extent, there may be a need to do restoration, as you know, since you mentioned restorative. But I think there's still a lot of resources that we can conserve. So even before we restore, we need to protect what remains, and that is, you know, it's basically like making sure that you've got a, you know, a good amount of savings in your bank, right? That you can then draw on the interest slowly. You can accumulate more resources or funds. So that's how we should look at natural resources, because there are a lot of things that can be done in order to optimize the use of our natural resources without depleting the capital, right? More sustainable forms of natural resource use. rather than focusing on things like mining or logging. We can generate more income through less destructive use of natural resources. Some of the forest products, for example, that have been underutilized, their potential have not been realized and so on.
Mm. So when it comes to the environment, what are some of the most pressing issues that these new government agencies will need to look into?
There are many. I'll mention a few. Deforestation is still a major concern in Malaysia. And it still continues regardless of which government is in place. Mm. So, you know, we need to take serious action to stop deforestation because we have enough economic activity in this country. We have a diversified economy, so there is no reason why we need to continue cutting down forests to drive the economy. I think that we have already cleared a lot of forests in the past, so we should focus our development on the areas that have already been cleared, and then whatever forests that we retain should be used optimally. And beyond deforestation, we also have issues with the deterioration of our marine resources. There's overfishing that needs to be curbed. Our coral reefs being damaged, also seagrass beds and mangrove areas. These are all important for ecosystem services and also to maintain our fisheries resources. So I would name those two as the key issues that need to be addressed.
You did also already mention climate change earlier, but I was wondering about, do we need institutional reforms at both the federal and state levels to protect our biodiversity?
Yes, most definitely. And I've spoken about this quite a lot, actually, in the past, whereby, you know, we do have relatively good policies in place. Right? We have the national policy on biological diversity. To give an example, we have the National Physical Plan, we have the Central Forest Pine Master Plan for forests in Peninsula Malaysia. They all are pretty good on paper. But the key issue here is that you have this disconnect between the federal policies and the management of the natural resources by the state governments, because the natural resources are mainly in the hands of the state authorities, so they can choose to do things their own way, right? And this has been a major problem, because while the policies look good on paper, the state governments have not really been implementing them. In fact, there have been many instances where their actions in the respective states have been quite damaging to the environment. So there has to be some measures taken to incentivize the sustainable management of resources by the state governments. And this could be in the form of, creating more revenue streams for the state governments, because they rely heavily on logging and mining to drive the state economy. So, you know, they need to be able to find funding revenue from other sources, whether it's tourism, whether it is manufacturing, or other ways that will not lead to them clearing more forests.
That was Surin Suksuwan, a member of the IUCN World Commission on Protected Areas, making some really good points about what we need from our the ministries that have been set up that are in charge of the environment. And I think if you're going to make a point of setting up a ministry that is specifically dedicated to the environment, then you need to show those results and you need to show that kind of commitment to making those changes and not just pay lip service to the idea.
And I think especially nowadays when the issue of climate change, when environmental issues is something that is talked about so much. It's something that really needs to be addressed immediately, right? I mean, in the past few weeks on Daily Digest, we've looked at so many environmental issues that are happening here in Malaysia that aren't getting the attention that they deserve. And so I guess, like you said, Charmila, having a ministry on its own hopefully will mean that there is better, sort of a better view of the environmental issues that are affecting. But I'm also hoping that there will be close relationships between the Environment Ministry with the Science Innovation Technology Ministry. I hope I'm getting that right. Because you see how they all interact, right? You need the advancement in technology, in sciences, so that you can use that to better the environment.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin has also stated that his new cabinet is one that delivers. So hopefully we will see that these ministries keep sustainable development and environmental protection as their top priority and hopefully put the planet before profit.
Let's hope so. You can tweet your thoughts to us on this if you'd like. That's at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. That is all the time we have for this segment. And we're going to take a quick break, leaving you now with Sam Cooke on what we hope is a hopeful note for things to come. A Change Is Gonna Come by Sam Cooke on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.